بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Today's hadith is narrated by Shaddad bin Aus رضي الله تعالى عنه. He says, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إن الله كتب الإحسان على كل شيء فإذا قتلتم فأحسنوا قتلة وإذا ذبحتم فأحسنوا ذبحة وليحد أحدكم شفرته وليريح ذبحته. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written perfection in ihsan upon all things. So when you kill, do it well, and when you slaughter, slaughter well. Let one of you sharpen his blade and let him spare the suffering to the animal that he slaughters. The concept of ihsan in Islam has been mentioned in many different hadiths and many different verses in the Quran. The very famous hadith of Hadith of Jibreel, where Jibreel comes and asks the Prophet ﷺ a series of questions. One of the questions that he asked Rasulullah ﷺ is that what is ihsan? And the Prophet ﷺ, he points out a very important concept. And the concept, he actually breaks it into two tiers. The first tier, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "Anta'budullah ka'annaka tara," to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as if you can see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is the best tier, that you actually reach perfection in whatever you do. But then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam breaks it down to tier number two and says, look, if you cannot actually reach perfection, then that's okay. Because you will not be the perfect person. You will not have the perfect children. You will not have the perfect ibadat. Your salah will never be perfect. Your home, your career will not be perfect. Why? Because perfection is not meant for the dunya. All of this, maybe once off you might reach it. But then they'll be up and down. And this is why the Prophet ﷺ breaks it down to the second tier. And he says, فَإِن لَمْ تَكُنْ تَرَى فَإِنَّهُ يَرَى. If you can't reach the greatest level of perfection, then bring it down and understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching you when you are worshiping. Now, in different verses in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions ihsan. In one place he says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has commanded you to be just and to have perfection and to have goodness in what you do. In another place, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he praises a certain groups of people, and he said, وَالْكَاذِمِينَ الْغَيْضِ وَالْعَافِينَ النَّاسِ وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those people that don't become content. I'm okay with whatever little I do. But a person stays hungry to achieve even better. وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those people that strive for perfection. Now in this hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written ihsan upon everything that you do, not just your ibadah, not just your reading Quran or coming to the masjid, your salah, not just your fasting. But here the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, any aspect of your life, look for perfection. Another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ جَمِيلٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is beautiful himself. Yuhibbul jamal, and he loves beautiful things. So whenever you do something, strive to make that beautiful. Strive to make that perfect in whatever aspect. Now if you look at the perfection of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a lot of times what we tend to do is that we say that inside is what matters, outside doesn't matter. And a lot of times what happens is that people, they hide behind this concept that, brother, as long as my inside is okay, the outside really doesn't matter. You know, I can drive, you know, a beat up car. I can wear tethered clothes. I can, you know, keep myself unkept. This shows my zuhud. This shows my disconnection to the dunya. Whereas if you look at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's life, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one time, a person comes into the gathering of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and his hair was tethered. His hair was messy. His clothes was messy. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam calls him and says, "Come here." And he asks him to decide, "Do you have money? Do you have wealth?" And he says, "Yes, I have wealth." The Prophet says, "Go home. Take a shower. Put on some good clothes. Fix yourself. And then come." That it's not just your inward side, but it's also the external as well, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves beautiful things and He loves that a person strives for perfection, that tries to be a good, presentable person. Now, if you look at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, let's finish off that hadith first. When this person comes back, now beard's brushed up, hair is nice and combed, wearing good clothes, perfumed, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, is this better or looking like the brother of shaitan better? The hadith says, is this better or looking like the brother of shaitan better? And you see this in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this common theme that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam always work towards perfection, even when it comes to like smelling good, right? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in one hadith said that from the things that he loves from this dunya is good smell. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam instructs us that even when you come to the masjid, don't bring any harsh smells with you. Brush your teeth, do miswak. Why did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when the final thing Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam does before he passed away is he performed his miswak. And this is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam telling us that, look, even when you present yourself, strive for perfection. Not just your ibadat, but even your presentation of yourself. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam actually took very detailed care about with his presentation. From the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Umm al-Mu'minin Aisha said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would take oil, and before he applied it to his hair, Rasulullah would take some and he would apply some first to his eyebrows and then to his eyelashes. And then he would take it and apply it to his hair. The Prophet he instructs us that مَنْ كَانَ لَهُ شَعْرٌ فَلْيُكْرِمُ. Who, if you have hair, take care of it. This is perfection. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran says, يَا بَنِي Adam, O children of Adam, when you come to the masjid, make yourself presentable. Now, this perfection is not just only in ibadat and not just only in presentation, but we also see in the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam teaches us to have the best of akhlaq. And this is why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawm al-akhir," if you believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the day of judgment, first find perfection in your speech. فَلْيَقُلْ خَيْرًا أَوْ لِيَسْمُدْ. Let him speak good or remain quiet. And then the Prophet ﷺ carries on the same hadith, مَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَلْيُقْرِمْ جَارَهُ. Let him be a good member of society. Let him be a good neighbor, right? Take care of your lawn. Take care, don't leave your garbage cans out. Don't have your bushes like growing over, where it becomes an eyesore. فَلْيُقْرِمْ جَارَهُ. Be a good neighbor. Take care of your neighbors. Rasulullah ﷺ instructs us that when you cook and you make gravy, add a little bit extra water and send some to your neighbors. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that same man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawm akhir, whoever believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the day of judgment, then let him be generous to his guest. And again, this is how Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam going to every aspect of our life, that control your tongue, find perfection in your speech, be a good member of society, be generous. And this is in all of our aspects. Now, if you look at this particular hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he then says that إِذَا قَتَلْتُمْ, when you kill, then kill in a good way. And as we know, killing is one of the worst things that person can do. Right? In so many cases, there are only very few cases where it's actually permissible. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam drops it down and says, when you sacrifice, let your sacrifice be done in a perfect way as well. Now, in Islam, what we have is usul and furu. Usul is the principle, and furu is the examples, right? A lot of times what happens is that people get stuck with the example, and they mention this hadith next month in Eid al-Adha. This hadith gets mentioned in Eid al-Adha, why? Because dhabahtum. But the dhabahtum is just the example, and this is how the Prophet ﷺ would teach people. He would give a concept and then break it down to an example that, look, even when you do something like killing an animal, then find perfection. Sharpen your blade. Don't let your animal feel pain. And this is just one example, but now you take that same concept and you apply that to everything that you do. The way that you deal with and interact with your parents, the way that you interact with your children, the way that you interact with your spouse, your akhlaq in general, your presentation, your ibadat, your work ethics, everything find perfection in that, or strive to perfection. And if you don't reach perfection, then the Prophet ﷺ says, look, that's the upper tier. If you don't reach that, then at least you'll have the second tier. And this is why we say that, you know, reach for the stars. That if you don't get the stars, you at least get something great. You at least do something good. And this concept, we talked about this before, is to stay hungry, to actually keep going. Don't become content. Have qana'at when it comes to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you, but besides that, a person should try to perfect themselves in every aspect of their life. We make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the ability to act upon what has been said. You know, just a personal request. Today is the day that 6 years ago, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he willed that my mother return back to him. It's a very tough day. So I just personal request, I make dua that, you know, I request everybody to make dua for that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes her grave from the garden of the paradise. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reunites us in Jannah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he reunites us, may she be proud of what she has left behind. She was a person that always encouraged us for perfection. I don't mean this to be a form of me praising my mother, but she came from a Hindu household. She wasn't Muslim. She wasn't born Muslim. But when she accepted Islam, she didn't know much. My mother, she knew one surah, Surah Kawthar, and she taught me Surah Kawthar, and then she knew one dua, Allahumma bismika amutu ahya. And as a kid, these are the only two things Islamically my mother had to pass on to me. And that's why I always, when I start a class and I could pitch that in, I pitch it in so that this reward goes back to my mother. But even though she wasn't born Muslim, she wanted perfection in her children. She wanted her children to reach, you know, and carry on that legacy that she left behind. And the thing that she would preach the most to me wasn't, you know, perfect grades. That was great. That was good. But her main concern was have perfect akhlaq. If your grades are up and down, that's fine. But if your akhlaq are up and down, that's not acceptable. And she would preach perfect akhlaq. You know, one time my mother, rahimahullah, she said to me that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose Islam for her. And she knows, she says, I know which of my characteristics. She goes, I had brothers and sisters. She comes from a big family, you know, around 10 siblings. And she goes, I know why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose Islam for me and gave me, chose that I become Muslim. And she says that when I was a young girl, what I would do is, she actually tells her mother, and my mother, my grandmother, she did not accept Islam. She passed away as a non-Muslim. But she said that I was telling my mother that when I was young, when I was a little girl, I used to steal from home. I would take food, ration, some sugar, some rice, some flour. And as she would walk to school, she would find the poor people on the street and give it to them. And she said that sometimes what I would do is that I would take off my slippers as I passed somebody that didn't have slippers. I would take my slippers off and continue walking and, you know, tell my mother that I would, you know, my slippers broke. You know, I would lie to my mother. And she is telling her Hindu mother this, that I used to steal and I used to lie. But before you get mad, this is why I did it. And my grandmother said to her that her name previously was Gita. So the Gita, that from the day that you accepted Islam, you have been nothing but a shame to us. From the day that you accepted Islam, you have been nothing but a shame to us. Goes, but what you're saying now, it gives me pride. And my mother said it was this quality of perfection in akhlaq that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose Islam for her. So just as a personal request, I make dua that Allah that I request everybody to make dua for her. Make dua for her, you know, her offspring. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive all of her shortcomings. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala overlook all of her mistakes. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala resurrect her amongst the prophets, amongst the salihin, amongst the shuhada. Ameen ya rabbal alamin. Jazakallahu khair. Assalamu alaikum.